This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron Assemble and Bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders, plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The two seed is moving on.
What Collinsworth say? There's never been a happier bleeder?
Yeah, I'll leave that alone.
No comment?
No comment.
Okay. I bet the text
I feel
line.
Like we might be able to find a few.
I think the text line's going to comment on that.
Yeah, man, I would imagine.
So Vrabel all bloodied up last night, yep. Although, you know.
Great exclamation point to the game.
It is. Like, he is, like, stoked to just be,
yes.
Like, one little teeny tiny drop of blood. Like, the one in training camp, I was all fired up about her joint practices. I was all fired up about
when he, like,
that
got
one.
It trying to break up a scrum.
He's in there breaking it up. I mean, this was,
like, Jeff Van Gundy.
This one, though, it's like, it seriously looked more like a cold sore than anything after the game. He's like, guys, he's showing everybody on the sideline, running around, like, in Milton Williams' face. He brings it up in the locker room. It's like, it's barely any blood.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you think next game he'll be like one of those old wrestlers and, like, Blade, kind of, like, cut his face?
Oh, good idea.
They do that?
No, he should come out like Paul Pierce with his whole head wrapped is what he should do.
He's like, I don't care, though. I love it. No, but that was great. I mean, that's, you don't get that with every coach, right? Headbutting a player who has a helmet on. You don't get that everywhere.
It's the kind of
thing.
They
love it, though.
Especially if they go on a deep run. It'll probably live on anyways. It's like, oh, remember the playoff game? Vrabel was bleeding everywhere.
The three games to glory? Yeah, that'd be in there.
It'll be like a big moment in that.
Yeah.
If they really go on a run.
It should.
This is Vrabel after the game last night. You know, he's thrilled to talk about this. Again, here's the head coach.
Mike, how proud were you to see the effort and the finish towards the end of your defense? Obviously, they could smell blood. Milt Williams doing what he does to finish it off. And speaking of blood, how's your lip?
Oh.
And, what's that like?
Well, we talked to him about being willing to spill some blood out there and that the big dogs come out in January. And I think Milt took that to heart and the way that he played the game and the way he finished the game. And he came over and, you know, got me pretty good. But, you know, that's what happens.
Okay.
Big dogs.
Big dogs got to.
Yeah, they got to eat, first of all.
Got to go out there and
you
eat.
Got to feed them.
And they did last night.
He was a hoss of the week, Milton Williams and Mike Vrabel. Two hosses of the week right there.
That's true. They both had. Wow. What select company.
Pretty good.
Those two and Ron Funches.
Mm-hmm. he was very happy about that.
Go far, Ron.
Who? Funches was very happy.
Oh, Ron Funches responded.
Ron was stoked. Yeah,
Ron Funches gave us the heart emojis on Instagram. So he's now friends with us. If you missed it last week, Traitor star Ron Funches. It was our hoss of the week.
He's out for sure.
He responded to us.
Yeah. Shout out, Ron.
Yeah.
Pulling for you, Ron. Meanwhile, this is one of the big dogs, the milkman, Milton Williams,
yes.
After the game. What happened with Vrabel?
Can you take us back to the instant replay on that? What happened?
Man, I was just turned. That's just pure emotion. I think I hit but everybody, but I forgot Vrabel had no helmet on, so he'll be all right, though. He'll be all right.
I love
awesome.
Him. I love him.
He's the best.
What happened? I don't know. I was too turnt.
I was turnt. You have to check the tape on that. I was just headbutting everybody.
We need to isolate that with the guy who said I done got drunk or whatever in the Kiefer Madness.
Oh, like,
these are like life excuses. What happened? I don't know, man. I got drunk. What happened?
I got drunk.
Too turnt. These are good. These are like good life excuses.
That's pretty good.
Get those.
That's pretty good.
What did you?
Sorry. I've been drunk.
What
I was just turned.
What was the DA? What was the DA bit they used to do with the random excuse generator or something?
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
We should have one of those going.
That is a good one.
Random excuse. I don't know. I done got drunk.
I done got drunk.
Too turnt.
It was too turnt.
Sorry. I've been drunk.
He's headbutting everybody. I love it.
Pretty awesome.
That is great.
So that was a good moment last night. That'll probably live on for a while. Our pal Coach is up in New Hampshire. What's going on, Coach?
Hey, what do you got, Coach?
Hey, glad we're moving on, but I got to point out a few things that I found concerning. Number one, I thought the rust really showed on Jared Wilson, Robert Spillane, and Harold Landry in particular. Will Campbell got his eyes open to NFL playoff atmosphere. He got bull rushed. Henderson, not so good, but a wonderful job on a blitz pickup on the Henry touchdown. And then to turn positive, I think this was the first game this year that I noticed Jack Westover. When they ran the power play to the left, he did a great job kicking out the end, and then he made a nice catch in the flat.
I was going to say, he had the one catch.
It was only one catch, but I thought his blocking finally showed up. I wasn't really sure how we could justify playing him up to this point, but he did a good job. And one more sleeper on defense. I think the kid doesn't get enough ink. Craig Woodson, solid football game.
Yeah, Woodson.
Yeah, the eraser. Up at the line of scrimmage a bunch. Yeah, a lot of good tackles.
Led the team in tackles.
Yep.
You know, our guy Taylor Kyles was on last week. He's like, I don't know, that Aronde Gadsden matchup is a scary one. Now,
just been erased.
I feel like he was mostly erased last night. I think Harbaugh erased him. I was watching the Gadsden stuff close.
They erased everybody.
Taylor Kyles kind of talked me into. No, but I don't even think Gadsden was on the field a lot. Until late. But no, Woodson I thought was pretty good in that game last night. Interesting point about the rookies and some of the injured players coming back. I disagree on Spillane. I thought Spillane was good last night.
Yeah, I
Landry
thought so too.
Wasn't super noticeable.
You didn't see him a whole lot. I mean, you can't ignore. I mean, Campbell and Wilson. Oh. And maybe some of it is, you know, they dealt with injuries late in the year and they're still working their way back to 100%. But Khalil Mack, who's not the same pass rusher he used to be like the best in the league, older now, but it seemed like he could just push Will Campbell right back into Drake.
Yeah,
he wasn't doing any like slick moves. No. He was like, I'm just going to push you back into the quarterback.
Collinsworth,
time.
I mean, again, the bleeding stuff is kind of comical, yeah. but overall, I guess Collinsworth was pretty solid last night because early in the game, he highlighted Campbell just getting dog walked.
He's just like pushed back.
Right back into Drake May, and it happened two or three other times after that. And so, look, next up.
Yeah, I don't.
It's your the
guy.
Texans and Daniil Hunter and Will Manderson is what many are calling
it. It's a tough matchup.
Yeah. Or
Will Manderson.
Or it's a matchup that already dominated. They already dominated Will Campbell with T.J. Watt and Herbig earlier this year.
Yeah, that
so,
was
like,
tough.
You're getting one or the other. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference? I'm sure we agree on this. You want the Steelers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
I'll avoid Manderson.
It is interesting, though. We're all like, Pittsburgh. That's the team we want.
I know.
Then they lost to him here.
But that was a long time ago. That feels like a different team. They were 1-2 at that point. It did not feel like a team that was going to rip off 14 wins and be in the divisional round.
I don't disagree. But, I mean, I don't know. I look at that team and I say, one of the teams that came in and beat you, you lost to very few teams this year. And one of the teams that came in and already beat you, we should probably give Pittsburgh at least more than like a passing thought when we talk about that matchup. But
I think it might even be more the respect I have for Houston. Like the way Houston played this year and we saw them and
it's less of a dig at Pittsburgh and more just like,
that's a good defense. And then I guess like, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
How many have they won in a row? Houston's won like 9 in a row?
Yeah, maybe.
They've won 9 straight. Yeah. Now Jacksonville have won 8 straight. They're out.
Like they both have like a quarterback that, I don't know, you don't feel like great about. Like, I feel like this Patriots defense would do well against those guys. They each have a good receiver. Running games are okay. I just think the overall defense is better in Houston. Also, Pittsburgh, now, maybe this will, they haven't won a playoff game in so long that obviously if you play them, they will have already gotten past that. But I don't know, like, Aaron, you've had a thing about Aaron Rodgers for so long. I look at Pittsburgh, like they just have all these choke jobs in the playoffs recently. I think Houston would be the scarier team.
So I would agree with that. And yeah, it is funny though. The one team we're looking at is,
oh no, they beat you.
The team that already came here.
Yeah, but if the Raiders were an option, I'd still rather play the Raiders.
No, that's fair. Yeah. But like the Raiders aren't a good team. The Steelers are at least a 10-win team and their defense was menacing and they turned you over a bunch. And what was the problem last night for the Patriots, Keith? They didn't have many. I mean, they had no problems with the Chargers offense. Their problem was turnovers. Yeah. And May was shaky with the football. And Pittsburgh was the team he was shakiest against. And I've been wanting to avoid that Houston defense for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be pulling for Pittsburgh. I hope they win that game. But I think it's probably closer than it. We were both answering it so quickly.
Yeah.
Greg Hill's show had a poll this morning. When I checked it, it was like 93% want Houston.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, want Pittsburgh. And not Houston.
Yeah.
But either way, you probably should be closer than that.
Yeah, maybe it'd be closer. But either way, those two teams you'd rather face than both Buffalo and Denver.
100%.
So like, it's like a big like step forward in that
100%. 617-779. 793.7. When it does come to Drake May and his day yesterday, which I think the best way to say it is he played his best when he needed to. How concerned are you about that O-line, though? Not even just specific to these matchups, Houston or Pittsburgh. But how concerning is it that Campbell and Wilson both really struggled last night?
Yeah, honestly, quite a bit. And I think as much as you can take, so let's look at this game as being far and away the most important game they've played all season, right? So if you want to take some of the stuff from the regular season, you can apply it. But take last night and sort of say, all right, maybe this is more what the team is. Positively, you would say, man, this defense hits hard. This defense gets after the quarterback. This defense was dialing up the right, you know, when to blitz, when not to blitz. The defense was really, really good. So I'm going to give them full credit for that. Flip side, the offensive line seems like they're letting them down, especially on the left side. You know, right side, we didn't hear about it quite as much, but I mean, still, it's five sacks overall. It's a pick. It's a fumble. You know, the fumble was really caused in part because of the timing, but also just because the offensive line let him down. He got hit a lot. So, yeah, and then look at all the teams that you could be facing. Outside of Buffalo, you could play Houston and Denver in the next 2 weeks. Like, those teams are really good on defense.
It's true.
So, yeah, no, that is definitely an eye-opening thing. And now, maybe, hey, that's a welcome to the playoffs moment for those two guys. I don't know. But, yeah, I would say a little bit of concern, sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is where the whole Will Campbell debate about arm length, I think, can be problematic for him. You know, they did play some easier teams this year. Like, even some of the bad teams had good defenses.
Cleveland, Atlanta.
Browns, yeah. But, like, Myles Garrett ate them alive. And he does that to a lot of people. But Myles Garrett's best day all year was against this guy. So, you know, I don't think, as you said, Khalil Mack is still Myles Garrett or like vintage Khalil Mack.
He's a step down.
But he was giving him fits in that game last night. And Oweh had the strip sack that beat him last night. I look at it and I say that's got to be concerning. And the better these pass rushes you face, the more a short arm tackle has a chance to get exposed. Now, that's nitpicky. I think he's still good enough to remain at tackle. It's been a good draft pick for the Patriots. I'm not relitigating that pick.
Oh, I'm not doing the draft over. I'm saying that was not a great performance.
You know, Matt Light was good enough to win some Super Bowls. There were matchups that gave him fits. And, you know, this is where if you don't have the elite, prototypical draft prospect, when you're talking about all the measurables and everything else, this is where it could come back to bite you when you start going against these elite pass rushers. Mm-hmm. We saw it against Pittsburgh earlier this year. You might see it against Houston or Pittsburgh next week, and you definitely saw it last night. So, yeah, I'd be concerned about that.
I also wonder if that's going to make Josh McDaniels call things a little bit differently, or like, hey, Hunter Henry, you got to stay in for a second here before you get out on your route, or Jack Westover, or just sort of say, all right, you know, maybe there was more times for one-on-one blocks with Will Campbell earlier in the season. But if you're going up against, you know, these teams, we just saw what it looked like even against the Chargers, then, you know, maybe he's going to need more help going forward.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Twitch chat says, I'm not worried about Campbell. Wilson was worse. Wilson might have been worse.
Oh, yeah. That's the scale that you want. Or, yeah, I would say Wilson was definitely worse. And I wonder, like, does that ever get to a point there where you're like, they clearly like Wilson more than Ben Brown, right? That's why he's the starter.
But that one feels close.
I wonder if you want to maybe, if it gets to that point where even you make that change, I wonder how close that could get.
One thing that came up, and you brought this up, we were talking about, just Dan Graziano and his criticism of the Patriots, and, oh, they didn't look like a number two seed and a Super Bowl contender, even though they had the biggest margin of victory over the weekend, and the Rams played down to Carolina, and, you know, the Bears and Packers were in a real shootout. Bears were way down early in that game. You know, you had the Niners in a close one with the Eagles. You had the Bills in a close one with the Jaguars.
There's a lot of close games, a lot of fun, good games, but, like, I don't know if anybody looked like, oh, this team's untouchable.
In a game where Buffalo was initially favored, but Jacksonville by kickoff was the favored team, interestingly enough. So that line moved a lot. But one thing you referenced was just the MVP discussion. The all-pro voting did come out over the weekend. And, Matt Stafford is first-team all-pro. Drake May is second-team all-pro. Marcus Jones, second-team all-pro. Christian Gonzalez did not make an all-pro team. Pats had no first-teamers. I was reading from Florio over the weekend. A lot of people had this. Usually the first-team all-pro quarterback becomes the MVP, although that trend was broken last year when Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson was first-team all-pro, but Bills quarterback Josh Allen won the MVP award. That had not happened since 1987. when 49ers quarterback Joe Montana was first team All-Pro, but Broncos quarterback John Elway was named MVP.
Ooh.
He adds, parenthetically, 49ers receiver Jerry Rice likely pulled away some votes from Montana. And to the extent...
Oh, good point. So maybe Nacua? Is that what he's going
to
say?
Well, maybe. Yeah. To the extent of the difference the first place votes make, 31-18, Stafford to May, that would suggest Stafford would be the no-brainer MVP, although Jackson last year had 30 first-place votes to Allen's 18. So the voting from a year ago is close.
Yeah.
Last year they went one way All-Pro and MVP for the other. So I wouldn't say Drake May is dead, but that was probably a bad development for his MVP.
No, that wasn't ideal. I also, if I was to bet what I think is going to happen based on the voters and everything, I kind of think they're just going to go with Stafford. There's too many people like Tom Brady that think it's a Lifetime Achievement Award. Slash Drake May has more chances to win, which is it, both are insane.
Yeah.
And then when like applied together, I hate it even more. But the fact that Puka Nacua is probably going to be the offensive player of the year should also lead you to think, well, maybe his quarterback isn't the MVP,
right?
Like Drake May didn't have a guy even make the Pro Bowl, won't even be a Pro Bowl alternate, and he has the best wide receiver in football. I don't know. I think that should take away a little bit.
One text on the Chargers pass rush versus the Patriots O-line. Guys, you're not giving the Chargers defense enough credit. I think we gave the Chargers defense a lot of credit last night.
Chargers defense is good. I think that the Texans defense is better.
Well, so that's what I was just going to say. The texter says it's a top five rated defense in the league. At least mention that aspect instead of just focusing on the O-line weakness. Well, no, the Chargers are a good defense. I feel like we talked about that all last week. If we didn't talk about it enough today, maybe so. We talked about that a lot last week. I just think... Who's a better defense, Houston or the Chargers?
I think Houston.
Denver or the Chargers?
I think Denver.
You're going to be running into more of these defenses. Pittsburgh already gave you fits this year.
Right.
So, yeah, the other teams have good pass rushers and they're good defenses. You're going to run into more of them. This is where I think guys like Campbell potentially get exposed. Let's see what happens.
Yep.
But I'm worried that was the beginning of that last night. So I'm with you, Keith. I'm concerned on that. And I think you should be. We'll continue with your feedback coming up. We will get to the Alex Bregman news later on this hour.
In gracious.
Because I was, you know... trying to enjoy, the end of these football games on Saturday night. I was at the. I tell you, I went to the Celtics game on Saturday night.
Yeah,
and they ended up losing.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in the building for a loss.
Great.
So I was feeling pretty good. You know,
front row like Greg?
No.
You were in Greg's seats.
Front row of the 300s. And so
front of a row.
Yeah. And so you know, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
And the Bregman news comes out of nowhere. We'll get to that.
Bradford was right
later on
Ultimately,
this hour. He well
sat trombone. He said.
Well,
at one point, didn't he?
He also said it was more. He kept flipping his stance on if they were going to sign Bregman.
51% he was gone, and then he said 51% he's back.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well, he'll join us this Thursday, right? Yep. We can figure this out.
Good week for Bradfo to get started again. So we'll do that later on this hour. We'll recap some of the wild card games and what it means for the Patriots right after Trending with David Azar.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Patriots have won their first playoff game since Super Bowl 53 after beating the Chargers 16-3 last night. Drake May had 268 passing yards and one touchdown, while also being the team's leading rusher with 66 yards. The Patriots will host the winner of Texans versus Steelers. You can hear the call of tonight's game right here on 93.7 WEEI. Westwood One's coverage begins at 7 p.m. The Bruins shut out the Penguins 1-0 last night. Jonas Korpisalo had 27 saves in the win, while Victor Arvidsson scored the game's only goal. The Bees have won 5 of their last 6 and will continue their homestand tomorrow night against the Red Wings. The Celtics are in Indiana tonight to play the Pacers. Jaylen Brown is doubtful to play due to lower back spasms. Sam Hauser is listed as questionable with a hamstring injury, while Josh Minot has been ruled out with an ankle injury. Tip-off is at 7:30. Former Red Sox third baseman Alex Bregman has agreed to a 5-year, $175 million contract with the Chicago Cubs. Bregman hit .273 with 18 home runs and 62 RBIs in his only season in Boston. The Sox are still the only team that has yet to sign a free agent this offseason. Now that it's the new year, I'm sure we all want to take care of those holiday bills. Check to see if you have unclaimed money at findmassmoney.gov. It takes less than 30 seconds, and if you haven't checked in a few months, go now and look. They are constantly updating the list. findmassmoney.gov. It's fast, easy, and free. I'm David Azar. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mom, I like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. And by the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators. Giving a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Probably the wildest game of the weekend, Keith.
Yeah.
Bears are down 21-3. They come back and win it 31-27 against Green Bay. That doesn't do it justice, by the way.
Say 21-3, too, and it felt worse. And I was living it because I was a Bears money line guy. So I was living it. And you're like, oh, this thing is
sick. Yeah, brag, bro.
Ultimately, it is a sick brag. At the time, it felt terrible. 21-3, you're like,
Bears money line? What else do you have in that game?
Oh, I had a DeAndre Swift touchdown, which also felt like it wasn't going to happen.
For our Bozo touchdown parlay.
For our Bozo touchdown and my buddy's Bozo touchdown parlay, which did hit, by the way. It's the last leg to hit.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
So all the pressure
over a Lego
was on
Death
you?
Star coming our way. Yes.
How about that? Good
yeah,
win.
It all came down to me. Yeah, we did a nice little five-legger on Saturday. Three legs from the Rams game, which all hit. Then we did a Christian Watson touchdown, scored right away.
Check that early.
And then I'm like, I don't think the Bears are going to score any touchdowns. I was like losing my mind. And then ultimately they score 25 fourth quarter points and beat the Packers at home. As good as Caleb Williams was in the second half, he was equally as bad in first half.
I was going to say, you know,
wild.
I am no Caleb Williams guy.
I like him.
And I know you are, but that was like.
I would point to the second half as to why I like him, not the first half.
And if we're being fair.
Yeah.
We talked about Drake May was uneven. I mean, uneven is not what Caleb Williams was. He was bad and then really good.
Oh, right.
May, I think, was uneven, if we're being fair. His first half wasn't great. So if we're going to talk about May that way, I think you got to give credit for Caleb Williams coming through in that spot. So that was one of the games. We got more thoughts on that wild card weekend, how it applies to the Patriots. Well, of course, the matchup tonight on Monday Night Football, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who never lose at home on Monday Night Football. They haven't lost since 1991. At home versus the Houston Texans. Maybe that bodes well if you want the Steelers. Next round for the Pats. Here on a Patriots Monday, you can get in touch all day long. And we talked to Christian Ellis, Patriots linebacker, joins us every Monday. Brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. By Shaw's and Star Market, proud to be local since 1860, and by Verizon. The New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Christian Ellis, how are we doing this week?
I'm good. How about you?
Oh, we're doing great.
Doing good.
You got a lot of love on the broadcast last night. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Chris Collinsworth highlighted you quite a bit for spying on Justin Herbert, your speed. When did you know that was going to be your role, and how excited were you for that opportunity going into the game last night?
Yeah, obviously something we prepared for all week. But, you know, I've done it before, done it with Josh, done it with a few other quarterbacks. So, it's not something I'm not used to. So I was ready for the challenge, ready to hawk him down wherever he went.
Now, they said you're one of the fastest linebackers in the league. Do you think that you are the fastest? If we lined up all the linebackers and had a race, you think you'd win?
I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't played with a backer that's been faster than me, but doesn't mean that there isn't. There's always a bigger fish in the sea. I'm not 100% sure on that one.
All right, can you take us to the, I guess it would be the second time you guys were on the field. It was a quick turnaround. Unfortunately, it was an interception by Drake May, and the Chargers get the ball on the 10-yard line going in, and you guys come up with a massive stop. They go for it on fourth down, so no points allowed. We had Hunter Henry on last hour, and he was saying that was the game right there. So what's the mentality taking the field back so quickly, knowing that you guys are backed up against the wall?
Yeah, you know, that was unfortunate, you know, the tip pass and, you know, they get the ball, but for us, you know, wherever we line the ball up, we're going to play defense. And, you know, especially now that it's the playoffs, it's just, you got to take the mentality we had and dial it to 11. So wherever they line up the ball, we're going to play. And, you know, thankfully, we were able to get a stop there.
Robert Spillane said after the game that the Chargers had no idea what you guys were doing on defense. And he said some players actually came up to him after the game and said that. Did you hear any of that, or did you hear about any of that?
I ran off the field like right away. I said hi to my guy, Troy Dye. And then I was off the field, so I didn't really get to talk to any of them like that.
The pressure you guys applied last night, you blitzed far more than the norm. I think the average on the season was about 27%. You guys were close to 50% blitz rate last night. What sort of impact did that have on the game?
It was huge. I think it got Herbert off his spot. You know, it got their offense feeling the pressure. And we knew their front guys, you know, great players. But we knew that we could get them with some of our rushes. Put some pressure on them, and you know they struggle with passing off some of our games and whatnot. And at the end of the day, you know, when we pressure our, you know, our best pass rushers get their one on one, so it creates a lot of different looks for us. And you know, last night it just worked out in our favor.
First home playoff game for the Patriots in a few years. What was the atmosphere like last night?
It was electric. There was a few times where I got half the call, and I was I'm trying to talk to I remember one play, Tay. I'm trying to talk to Tay, and I'm thinking he's saying one thing, he's saying a completely different thing, and it's all just because of how loud the fans were. So it was an awesome environment.
Christian Ellis, Patriots linebacker here on Jones and Keefe. I'm not sure all your teammates agree with that, by the way, but that's interesting because it sounded very loud on TV. Mike Vrabel bloodied up for the second time that we know about this year. We saw one happen in joint practices, happened again last night. How does that keep happening with Vrabel?
Sorry, can you repeat that last question?
Yeah. How does Vrabel keep getting bloodied up? It's the second time we've seen it this year. Is he sticking his nose in there too much? Like, what's wrong with him?
Yeah. That's a good question. That's a question for him. It does. It's the most I've seen a coach, you know, get injured while being on the sideline. So we'll have to talk to him about that one. Maybe have an athletic trainer follow him around just in case.
What's your plan for tonight? Obviously, you guys get the winner of Texans and Steelers coming up on Sunday. You gonna watch the whole thing, or are you gonna get up and watch it tomorrow? How's it gonna go?
I'll watch the whole thing. I like watching ball. So I bet it's going to be a good game. So I'm excited to watch, and you know, it's always exciting to watch Aaron. And then I really love how the Texans defense plays. So I'll be up for that one.
One more for me, kind of out of left field. I asked this to Hunter Henry too. We learned over the weekend that Will Campbell has been assigned as the like Friday meteorologist. Apparently, it's kind of funny in team meetings. I was reading about this over the weekend. What can you share about Will Campbell, the weatherman?
He always has jokes. There's no line he won't cross to make the room laugh. And honestly, he's very comfortable for a rookie. So
working wow. Blue? Is he working blue?
I guess so.
Yeah. Sorry, what was that?
Is he working blue, cursing a little? What sort of criteria is he getting into?
What can I share?
Wow.
You know, he just makes it fun. He makes it fun.
I like that.
He makes it fun. Okay. I'll say that.
Interesting. All right.
All right, good stuff. Yeah. Christian Ellis, maybe we'll get more on this.
Very comfortable, I feel like, is code for he does it without clothes on.
Well, we'll talk to you next week, Christian Ellis. Great win last night. Best of luck this weekend against, the opponent TBD, either Pittsburgh or Houston, and we'll talk soon.
Yep. Okay, I appreciate you guys.
All right, thanks.
Christian Ellis, he's working blue. Although
I think I might be on to something. He goes, there's not a line he won't cross, and he's very comfortable.
You think that means?
Naked.
Nudité.
Yeah.
That's usually funny.
It's usually a hit. You ever see Borat?
Jackass, it always hits.
Yeah, they're making another Jackass? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
That is great news.
Awesome news.
And then I read somewhere that
they're too busy doing Fear Factor now.
Well, Johnny Knoxville was hosting
that. Knoxville, yeah.
But then they're doing Jackass. And then I read, I got to dig deeper into this. They're like, Bam Margera might be back. And then they're like, well, it might be like archival footage. I'm like, what? Is he in it or is he not in it?
I mean,
yeah.
He should probably.
That's actually one of the skits, like breaking him out of rehab.
Yeah, but it seems like, he should probably not be in it.
But it seems like this Will Campbell thing is.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That'll just turn.
Uh-huh. Now, I did read, Phil Perry had this at NBC Sports Boston. I did. I think a lot of the jokes are written by Stretch.
Stretch writes them?
Yeah, but Campbell's.
So he's like his ghostwriter, and then Campbell delivers the.
Yeah. Larry David to Jerry Seinfeld.
Every great comedian. McAdoo. Wasn't McAdoo doing the memes?
Oh.
McAdoo memes.
Right.
He was the meme master.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's over with, though.
The Patriots have really upgraded. We had the stupid Top Gun Maverick memes last year from Bob Ben McAdoo.
It's just a new player over Top Gun Maverick every time. It's like, hey, look at you're flying the plane now.
Now we got Stretch.
I guess.
Working blue.
Listen, they're in the divisional round, so whatever they're doing, keep doing it.
Keep it going. That's why we still ask the Hunter Henry question of the week. So, you know, you can't mess with anything.
He was super surprised, by the way, today.
He was, about Bregman.
Yeah.
We'll get to that coming up. Okay, so on the Bears, let's get back into these games this weekend. Marcus in Roxbury wants to discuss something Scheim said today. I missed this, Marcus. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? It wasn't what he said today. It's what he's been saying, his whole take that every team is like sad that they didn't get Drake May. But Pontiac Caleb, man, they're pretty happy in Chicago with who they have. So I just wanted to get you guys' take on that because I thought he played really good in the second half.
Yeah, he did. He was great in the second half. But I mean,
May over Caleb Williams.
If Ben Johnson could switch him out, I think he probably would.
Yeah, me too.
And I like Caleb Williams.
72% of his passes as opposed to 58% of his passes.
Yeah, I'm somebody that I like Caleb Williams going into the draft. I liked him even at times last year. I had big excuses for him. And then this year, he's also in the divisional round, so that's good. But
you think they're kicking themselves? I don't even think that one's close, May and Caleb Williams. Do you think they're kicking themselves over Jaden Daniels?
Last year they were. This year maybe they're like, we're good.
I think I would rather have Jaden Daniels, but
I don't know.
I understand, you know, the health concerns.
That's really leveled off, right? Because Caleb Williams at least plays every game. Jaden Daniels, we'll see what year three is going to be a good tiebreaker year for Daniels. No, that game was crazy. And so for everybody that's like, I don't want Caleb Williams, you look at the first half and you'll be like, all right, you seem to be right. And then for everybody that's like, why was this guy the number one pick in that draft class, which was a really good loaded quarterback draft class? And, you know, Ben Johnson, out of all the jobs he probably could have taken, he picked Chicago probably because of that guy. Well, you could see it. Some of those throws he made in the second half, he was fantastic. And, yeah, that was wild. That was they were down by 18 points and then came back and they're going for two and, like, everything. It was wild.
The throw rolling to his left was an unbelievable play.
Yep.
But Caleb Williams is capable of that. He's also capable of what he does in the first half. So, I mean, if I was drafting again, he'd be no higher than third.
Yeah.
And honestly, he's closer to Bo Nix than Jaden Daniels for me.
But just because you're in the second round doesn't mean you wouldn't trade your quarterback for anything. Like,
agreed.
Bo Nix and Sam Darnold got buys. Like, I don't think Seattle's like, nobody else can quarterback our team.
Good point.
You know, so.
So after that game, which is wild, and I know you made some money off it.
Yes, I did.
And
I lost it on Sunday, but don't worry. I won some on Saturday.
What else? What else stood out? The Buffalo game.
I mean, I think every game, honestly, was something. Because even the Rams game, you start the weekend with the Rams game where you expect this to maybe be the least interesting game of the day. Wrong. Well, I guess in comparison to the one the next.
Yeah.
But just the fact that it was close throughout and Carolina had a real opportunity. Matt Stafford didn't look great. Ultimately throws for three touchdowns and ultimately they win the game. But that was razor thin.
And he leads them down the field to go get the victory. Yeah.
Buffalo-Jacksonville obviously was a very entertaining game as well. That one could have gone either way. Jacksonville easily could have won that game. Philadelphia, all year long, you and I were like, they don't look right. Something's off with them. And yet, they win the division, the three seed, they're at home.
I thought late in the year they figured something out. I was wrong. AJ Brown and Nick Sirianni. And if you've seen the full extended thing, it was really more Sirianni than AJ Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They're like at each other's throats. So, you know, if you want to talk offseason, AJ Brown, probably not back there.
And he just said bye to teammates and just walked out of the
locker room. Yeah, and he didn't talk to the media after the game.
They hate their offensive coordinator down there. That guy's as good as gone.
He's getting fired for sure.
Oh, we're going to read about that any minute.
He's going to
be gone.
The games were pretty entertaining.
They were. They were all decided by 4 points or less until the Patriots game, which was a nail biter. It was 6-3 at the half. You know, and then they eventually score, but like, you didn't feel great about it until the very end. Really, until Henry crossed the end zone.
It's true.
You're like, this one's up in the air.
So the Bills get the win over Jacksonville, which I think is good for the Patriots that you have you're going to be getting now Houston and Pittsburgh. I do think that's good for the Patriots. But as it was happening, I couldn't bring myself to root for Buffalo. As the game was playing out, even though rationally I'm like, I think this is the better outcome for the Pats, I'm not going to root for this Buffalo team. I was rooting for Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Which wound up, you know, going down the toilet. Trevor Lawrence was awful in that game. Buffalo and Denver, Keith, that other matchup, who should the Patriots be rooting for?
I feel like it's kind of six and one, half dozen in the other, because you get the home game against Buffalo, which is great. Three straight home games, potentially. I think it's really a one-man team. Maybe a little unfair to James Cook. He's good, although Jacksonville stuffed him yesterday. So Josh Allen has to play kind of like Superman, but the defense isn't as good. So I think Will Campbell, Jared Wilson, they'd be better off against Buffalo than they would be against Denver. The quarterback's not as good, not nearly as good, obviously, but it is a road game in Denver, which can be a house of horrors. So long story short, I think you're probably rooting for Denver.
I am.
Denver.
I'm rooting for Denver.
But I'm not like...
That's not going to be easy.
Like Houston, Pittsburgh, you ask me, I'm like Houston. Or Houston's tougher, so give me Pittsburgh, right? Like that one's, to me, a no-brainer. This one, you really can wrestle with it back and forth, but you're like, you know what? Josh Allen, like, finally be his year.
That's what scares me. Because you're right. Who's the better team? Denver.
Yeah.
Buffalo's not a good team. They just have potentially an all-time great player, depending on what he does this postseason.
So it's Denver defense and home field or Josh Allen.
I don't want... Josh Allen already came here and beat you. You were dominating in that game. You know, it got away from you, but they know they can do it. They'll have won back-to-back play. They'll have gone to Jacksonville, which isn't exactly a hornet's nest.
No.
Then gone to Denver. Josh Allen had never won a road playoff game. Now he's won two, and it's the AFC title game with a chance for him to go to his first Super Bowl. I don't want that. I don't want that. I'll be rooting for Denver, and I think you have a better chance of going to Denver and beating Bo Nix and the Broncos.
Plus, the Pats are undefeated on the road.
That's true. The Road Warriors, great point.
Maybe it's not even as daunting as in other years.
Great point.
Okay.
The Road Warriors.
Keep it going.
How poetic would it be to go on the road to go to the AFC? There it is, Keith.
I love it.
617-779-7937. All your thoughts on the games this weekend. We'll get into it. We'll get back to the Patriots. Their dominant defensive performance. Is that now the new norm? Should we expect that? Or is that kind of a one-off? We'll get to that coming up. Plus, we have to get to Alex Bregman.
Ugh.
No longer a Boston Red Sox.
He is not.
He is now a Chicago Cub.
What happened?
What did happen?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We'll get to it next. I'm going to be honest. I was downright shocked when this came out on Saturday night. Not necessarily that Bregman isn't back with the Red Sox. I don't think that in and of itself is shocking.
Right.
The money, the Cubs, the timing, all of it really caught me off guard. Real flat-footed on Saturday night.
Yeah, I was trying to watch that Bears-Packers game. I was like, this Bears team's not going to win this game, are they? And then Nick texts us, Bregman's to the Cubs. I was like, come on. Not now. Not now,
not
Bregman.
Not now.
Not now, Red Sox. What are you doing? But this is the thing we were waiting on the whole time. Because people are trying to warn us. Like, hey, guys, they could go from having Devers and Bregman to, in a year, having neither Devers or Bregman. And I was like, you're right. That could happen. But let's see. Let's see how this all plays out. And I even gave him the benefit of the doubt. Like, I'm like, all right, even if Bregman leaves, if you got Pete Alonso, if you got Kyle Schwarber, you're moving money around, but you're getting some big batters still on the like. I could have taken that. You didn't get any of those guys.
Nope.
You didn't get any of those guys, and now the worst possible.
They could give a shit.
They could.
Don't you think that's going to happen?
No. No, I don't. But like, no, this is worse. This is worst case scenario. This is like, why did you do that whole dog and pony show with Devers and Bregman, if you weren't even going to bring Bregman back?
Okay, well, I disagree with that part. Like, Devers getting butthurt over it, he's still to blame for that.
Like, he's a baby.
They just brought it. No, the Red Sox screwed all this up, but I don't think they screwed it up by hurting Devers' feelings. Like, that's letting Devers off the hook.
But they don't have either guy now.
No. That's what they screwed up.
Yeah, no.
No, but the hurting Devers' feelings.
Oh, I don't even like Devers. Yeah, so I'm like, just saying, like, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of production.
Oh, they ruined the relationship with Devers. He's a child.
Yeah, that's fine.
And he's overrated. So, like,
Anderson Hicks. They both suck.
If he can't
handle that,
if he can't handle that, that says way more about him than the Red Sox. But the return is awful, and this looks horrendous.
Yeah.
Now that you have neither one, so how could they salvage it? They could sign Bichette. They won't.
They won't.
They could.
They won't sign anybody that's more than 5 years.
No, I mean, the latest thing from Bradfo now is like they're expect the Red Sox to pivot to getting a starter.
Yeah, who?
Peralta
or
Reagan?
Four of them.
Yeah, they have is starters right now.
A high end starter. Is what Bradfo's saying. I don't think they're going to do that.
My guy Giolito's still out there. Bring him back.
I kind of think this is going to be like...
No, this is devastating.
Yeah, oh, it is.
It is legit devastating. And we were arguing about Bregman all offseason, but I was like, get Pete Alonso and Bregman back. Bregman almost doesn't even count as a move or like a... Certainly not like a new move, because if you look at last year's playoff lineup versus, you know, what we think the opening day lineup will look like... Bregman would have been in both. So, like, yeah, you get credit for bringing him back, but it wasn't like throw a parade, have a press conference, do the jersey thing.
Right.
So, not having him, you just have no third baseman as of right now. This guy was getting so much credit for like fixing everybody's swings, fixing everybody's pitch mechanics.
Except his own.
Although he hit in the playoffs.
He did.
Wasn't a lot of games, but I don't know. It's just really frustrating. And like what this says, they're so terrified of long-term deals. And it's one thing you kind of understand. You don't want to give $700 million to a person. Okay. I get that. Not my money, but I get that. 175?
Nothing.
You don't go to 175?
It's nothing.
For a guy that you already know works here?
So I am like amused by all of this. And so, I mean, look, here's where the Devers people have a point, and they've always had this point right. The Red Sox had to eventually replace Devers.
Right.
And Bregman doesn't even really replace him, but this looks just awful. It's such a bad look.
Well, if you're like, oh, Wilson Contreras is the Devers replacement and you have Bregman back, you're like, all right, it's a little bit of a downgrade, but I don't know. It's a guy.
I wasn't looking
forward. Even the best prospect they got back, they moved for Dustin May, who is also gone.
Good point.
Oh, the return for Devers is like a Mookie Betts return.
So, you know, Contreras and Bregman, that's not a World Series team to me, but like, okay, I feel like you could make a case you got better or at least you replaced Devers. But this whole idea now that they're just, who's your third baseman? What are you doing?
You don't have a third baseman.
And so it's an awful, 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 horrendous look. And I love, and I'm not saying it's wrong. Yeah, I think McAdams has been reporting on this that, I mean, number one, they had tons of deferrals. So they wanted to kick that money way down the road, which is less valuable to the player. It's more valuable to the owner. They get to keep all their money in the meantime and kick that can down the road. So Henry's playing games with that.
So that sounds like a team that's going to be aggressive in the rest of free agency.
You also had just, forget deferrals, you just offered less money than the Cubs did. And then you also wouldn't give him a no-trade clause in his deal, which I think is down the list. But I would understand Bregman looking at it and going, well, they paid Devers and then traded him. I want a no-movement clause or a no-trade clause in my deal. And they refused to do it. And all these things are so minor, and if you believe some of the reporting, they were at least close to the Cubs. So why couldn't they go the extra mile? Who do you blame for that? Is that Henry? Is that Breslow? A little bit of both? Who do you blame for that?
This one I think you do have to put on Henry, I think. I mean, I also, I don't know, Alex Cora deserves to be on there somewhere too, because last year Breslow didn't even really want him, and you could argue that that was wrong. But Cora did. They changed a lot of things for Cora. They brought in their guy who he claimed was the perfect baseball player. And then the next year, they can't even get him, bring him back.
So people need to choose. Like, if you want to blame Breslow, like, I do think this goes above Breslow, but, you know.
I do, too. And listen, Breslow shouldn't get off scot-free here
by any
means.
He needs to replace Bregman now on top of Devers. The return for Devers is horrible. Blame Breslow for all that. The contractual stuff is more Henry, but people need to pick. Did Alex Cora get Bregman here last year? Or did he not? Because now then Cora should be on the list. You know what other one I've started to hear? Well, it's actually Theo who gets involved on Crochet, and Theo gets involved on Bregman, and he nudges it over the line, and Breslow needs the help from Theo. Okay, so like, does Theo push these over the goal line, or does he not?
I don't even count him.
So what does Breslow do if he needs help from Theo?
Well, this is the thing. So maybe Breslow doesn't do much, but then you got to blame the people who you actually think can nudge it over the line.
You think it's Henry in this case? Anytime it's a year, if it's not a... re-upping your own guy which there's a whole calculus to it and arbitration years and what it could cost and all that. Because that's the other thing. I don't want to give them a ton of credit for just re-signing their own guys. Free agency should be a big part of team building, and they've basically sat out free agency.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't spent a dollar. So this one is the structure and everything, that's Henry. But now to figure out how to replace him, that's going to be on Breslow. And I have no worldly idea what they're going to do for that. And that will be on Craig Breslow.
Yeah. Where it would be on Breslow is if Henry, you know, there's a lot of talk about baseball getting a salary cap at some point and Henry wanting a salary cap. If he gave Breslow a salary cap, if you will, and it's like, this is all we can spend. And he's like, but then Breslow doesn't value Bregman maybe as much as like Cora does. And he's like, well, if I'm only given $200 million to spend, I don't want to sink 120 of it or 170 of it into Bregman. But yeah, either way,
I'm going to spend it on Gray, and I'm going to spend some of it on Contreras and this and that. Right. No, I mean, he deserves – I'm not saying Breslow gets no blame.
And the reason why they got Gray is because they're not even paying for his whole contract.
Thank you. So, no, I mean –
and Contreras.
I think it's mostly Contreras. Henry on this one, but Breslow's next. I'd have him above Cora, and I'd have him above Theo. I would just say to the people who think Cora got Bregman last year and Theo pushed the Crochet deal over the line, make sure you're adding them to the list as well. Real quick, because I want to hear it, just because it bothers me and it bothers people. You catch any of Sam Kennedy over the weekend?
Yeah.
Trying to set the record straight on their spending with Ken and Curtis on Saturday. It's at FanFest, which they lucked out on this one, that Bregman signed just on missed. Saturday night after FanFest and not on Friday night.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to say they had some hand in that. I don't know how they possibly would have.
Yeah, I play them anyway.
But they lucked out big time on this one. This is Sam Kennedy just talking out both ends of his mouth.
You mentioned, I think, $250 million.
Right.
Yeah. So if you go back to this time last year, this organization has taken on, I did the math just because I contractual commitments that this organization has taken on. You know, you mentioned Garrett Crochet, right? You mentioned Roman Anthony. You mentioned Christian Campbell. We did the Bregman deal last year. So it totals $498 million. And again, our fans, there's a lot of media talk about dollars and 250, and I'm throwing out $498 million. It doesn't matter. We need to win baseball games. It doesn't matter. We need to win baseball games. But I do need to correct that false, inaccurate portrayal that this team is not committed to dollars and long-term contracts, because it's just false.
Yeah. They actually spend, Keith. You didn't realize that?
A ton of money.
Yeah, they haven't spent one cent in free agency.
You're wrong. You're a liar.
All right, if it's just about winning baseball games, would you win more games with or without Bregman?
Well, I would say with Bregman.
Okay.
And that's me.
All right, let's boil it down to that, though.
We'll have to wait to get our own interview with Sam Kennedy, I guess, to ask that one. But, yeah, I would say that's the case. So there you go. You can jump in on the Bregman news. We weren't going to go all day without talking about it. But a brief look at the Red Sox whiffing big time on that one. Who do you blame, and what do they do now? We'll get to it. Plus, we'll get back into the Patriots. Massive defensive performance last night. Is that sustainable for the Patriots? Or was it a one-off? And was last night more about the Patriots or the Chargers? We can get more into that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.